Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabu mubeen, praise be to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-deen. This day have I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor upon you and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, his is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad, wa Allah send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family wa sahbihi, and upon his companions. Ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Wa ma ubariyu nafsi inna an-nafsa al-la'maratu bisu'in illa ma rahima rabbi inna rabbi ghafurur rahim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah the Most High, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. In the hadith of Muhammad, a report from the Prophet says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونُ حَوَّاهٌ تَبَعًا لِمَنْ جِتُّ بِهِ. صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That is the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, none of you, not a single one of you, is a believer until his passions, his urges, his impulses, follow what I have brought. And we say, Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Prophet, peace be upon him, has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, part 19, taqwa in the game of life. Alhamdulillah, we are focused on taqwa in all of these most recent few series because taqwa obviously is a universal quality. When you look at the Quran, the very first section of the Quran itself, it starts with hudan lil muttaqin, that the Quran is a guidance for the mutaqi, is a guidance for those who have taqwa, those who practice taqwa. So it's about knowing what taqwa actually is in order to get the benefit of the guidance of the Quran and the guidance not only in the Quran but around in the entire cosmos, for that matter. Allah says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. What's going on? It's not on? What's happening? I did. I got a green light. Okay. So in terms of wattaqullah wa yu'allimukumullah, be regardful, be conscious, be aware, pay attention to what Allah has ordered and structured, because Allah is always teaching you. So not only do we learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, but we also learn from what Allah has created in the creation. The first revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your guardian evolver. Well, the book wasn't complete. There was no book there with the prophet, and he was not among those who could read or write at that time. So the invitation to read was to what? Read the nature of creation. Read your own nature. And this is what the revelation itself went on through the life model and example of Prophet Muhammad to teach us how to do. I want to give, to begin this part of the lesson on taqwa, last week we introduced the ideas in nafs al-a'mar and nafs al-lawama, just mentioning them. And even now I'm not trying to teach the whole thing because it's an entire lifetime study. But you do have to have a fundamental grasp of it. When I say a fundamental grasp of it, means, okay, in principle, what is nafs al-amara? In principle, what is nafs al-lawama? In principle, what is nafs al-mutma'inna? And if you understand those as being the beginning and the end of our growth of self, the growth, we translate as translations, we say self. Nafs means person. It has other meanings, but essentially those two, the self. Well, in the early lessons of Imam Muhammad rahimahullah, when he was showing us a way to get out of the shirk that we were in, when we believed the way that we believed in the lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, he gave us language that began to take us out of that anthropomorphic idea, that materialistic idea of life, reality, God, et cetera. And by giving us a way of understanding matters that are crucial to the new journey, right? So he explained to us he had three selves as well. The self of divine aspirations, the self of biological passions, and the self of mental aspirations, right? And the message was we have to use the self of divine aspiration to discipline the self of biological passions in order to arrive at the self of mental aspirations. I used, this is the way I do. I could see the arithmetic in it, that you use three to control one, and then you get two. So the math of it is three minus one is two, but the minus is not to take it away. The minus is a symbol in my saying it, is a symbol of discipline. Use the self of divine aspiration, meaning what? That self that is trying to arrive at the destiny that Allah intends. Listen, the Quran has already told us this, and I'll repeat it, where it says, وَالنَّفْسًا وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. So that soul that has been enlightened as to what would benefit and what would harm it, blessed is he that caused it to grow. What is that? That is divine aspiration. The divine aspiration of every soul is to get to the destiny that Allah intends for. The divine aspiration of every soul is to realize its potential, to fulfill the will of God that is present in it. And so such as it is with that nafs, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, who knows what benefits it and what would harm it. So this divine aspiration, it has to be used to control the self of biological passion. Biological passion fits very close to the nafs al-la'amara, which we began, and I don't know if I mentioned it, the 53rd verse of Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, wherein he says, and I don't hold myself, my nafs, I don't hold myself to be blameless, because surely the nafs al-la'amara, that is in every one of us, in our origins and in our beginning stages, we are inclined bisuun. We are inclined to evil, wrong. That's at that initial stage, and we'll say more about that as we go on. It said, "Illa ma rahima Rabbi." The only ones who are saved from it are those who receive the mercy from their Lord. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to Aisha radiallahu anha that all of us have a jinn, and she said, "You too? Yes. But Allah has helped me to overcome mine and such that I'm free from his mischief, and he only commands me to do good." But we all haven't achieved that particular aim, goal, and that's one of the goals that we are striving for, to be in a state where our jinn is under our management. Our urges and our impulses are under our management. They are not driving us. We are controlling them. So this divine aspiration has to control the biological passion. One way of representing it is nafs al-la'amara, because it is that self that wants to be in charge. It's that self that wants to be on top. You can keep it in that jinn framework when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. The jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. Well, what is the fire that's free from smoke? Urges, impulses, appetites. You don't get any smoke from that, not in any literal sense, but you definitely get heat. And that's what we call it. We tell us, oh man, he in heat, she in heat, et cetera. That is that jinn, impulse, urge, appetite. And once that heat gets started, it's nothing else matters. Nothing else. It wants to bogart. It wants to be in charge. It wants to take control. It wants to move everywhere. And that's why it's like fire. Those urges, those impulses that are undomesticated, undisciplined, they are like fire because they burn up everything, right? They burn up your check. They burn up your marriage. They burn up your business. Y'all know what I'm talking about, guys. Okay. So it's like you have to bring them into control. Now, let's understand. I always want us to keep that balance. We have to. It's not I want. If you lose it, you lose. I want you to understand. Suleiman, you've heard this, but I'll remind you. Suleiman, alayhi salatu wasalam. First stop, easy stop, big glaring sign. He has in his council an ifrit of the jinn. Ifrit of it means that he was a big, strong jinn. This wasn't no corner store jinn. It was a big jinn, right? And he would take consultation with him. And then read the other places in the verses of the Quran regarding Suleiman and his building. And you will find that he used the Shayya Queen. It doesn't even say jinn in the one that I'm referencing right now. Shayya Queen. So he had power over the Satans. Okay? But Solomon, we get this hint. It says Solomon is what? The soul of man. The soul of man. Right? But he had that mastery to be able to control and master his urges. And when you look at all the things that Allah says that he taught David, that he taught Solomon, and you read about the wind and you read about the birds and you read about, it's showing you that he had power over not only forces in nature, but the forces in himself. That's where the force has to come first. Last thing I'll say about, well, I think it's the last thing I'll say about Solomon right now, just to make the point that we have these urges, these impulses, and these appetites, and they are strong, and they are powerful, and they are for our benefit. They are for our benefit, but you can't get the benefit from them until you domesticate them. Just think about wild horses, wild dogs, all the other wild animals that we had to domesticate. And then once we domesticated those animals, then we got the world that we have by and large right now because of the fact that we put those wild things to our service to build civilization. All right, that's external, but you have to do that internally, right? Our urges and our appetites, our aspirations, our impulses, our instincts, they are not bad. They're only bad when they're out of control, back to fire, right? It's like fire, if you're not in control of the fire, that is a problem, you know? But you got, you know, the fireplace, barbecue pit, whatever, you know, so okay, oven, good. You want that fire, right? So the idea is learning how to manage those urges, those appetites, those impulses. How do you do it? Divine aspiration, the self of divine aspiration. That is, when you understand that it is a part of your design. And the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. This is in the context of Adam's creation, right? Then Iblis was a jinn, right? Then Adam, after Iblis rebelled against Allah's order to bow to Adam, now he becomes the enemy of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. And until Adam was empowered to overcome the influences, the tricks, the deceptions of Shaitan, then he suffered the fall. He suffered the fall in consequence of that. But then he met a word from his Lord, and by following that word, Allah accepted him. But then where it says, we're in the story, so it says, get ye down from here all together. On earth will be your dwelling place for a time, right? So that battle, quote unquote, that opposition, that challenge, that started where we read in the Quran where Adam and his wife slipped, fell, et cetera, and we were placed on the earth. That is the lifetime battle that we are still fighting, quote unquote, right now. That we're still fighting right now. And so the movement, so the way by which, how do you win that battle? This is what we're talking about, taqwa in the game of life. How do you win that battle? Number one, understand that it is what you don't know about yourself that Shaitan uses against you. It's what you don't know about yourself that Shaitan uses against you. And it's through that knowledge that he dominates. Let's finish that little formula that was given to us about 40 years ago, where it says, the self of divine aspiration must control the self of biological passions in order to achieve the self of mental aspirations. I used from the beginning the idea of college students. I mean, many of us have children who went to college, and when they got to college, it was like a shock for them. Some of them, all they had ever been in was the Muslim environment. the Claire Muhammad School, elementary, high school, et cetera. And then when they got out there into the college environment, those who had been matriculating, quote-unquote, as normal in the, quote-unquote, public at large, then ours met them in the dorm on the college campus, and the rest is history in many of the cases. We have many, many great success stories, but also we have many examples of what I'm saying. Because ours, in many instances, they were like babes in the woods. They didn't know what kind of stuff the others were learning, quote unquote, when they were growing up in their system, and it came over there. The only point that I really want to focus in on is the idea that the values, the challenge of disciplining yourself. Go to class, do your work, write the paper, don't party, don't drink, don't blah, blah, blah. So if they don't have the self of divine aspiration to control their self of biological passion, they're never going to realize the self of mental aspirations. You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. Why? Because the self of divine aspiration is not controlling the self of biological passions. Right? Okay. So that's just one of the ways that Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he sought to get us to understand the growth of self, the growth of self. This is before he really, you know, started giving us the ideas that are literally in the Quran, nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawwama, nafs al-mutma'inna. We were brand new from, you know, Farad's mythology, Yaqub's myth, and, you know, and we still looking to the left about Caucasians. Maybe they might need it down. I'm not sure yet. Let me see. Get my sound here. Alhamdulillah, Allah is most gracious, most merciful. It's a wonderful thing to be here after all that. Okay, so let's walk just a little bit literally on the others then. Nafs al-amara is the self that wants to be in charge. And that is our urges and our impulses. They all want to be in charge. Do you understand that you and I are a community, a world inside of our one body, right? Have you ever thought about the fact that we say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum? I don't say assalamu alaika. I say assalamu alaikum. I speak to you as though you were a plural. Wa alaikum assalam. And you respond to me as though I am a plurality. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the believers are like one body. The believers are like one body, right? So that means that there's many citizens in each one of our bodies. In psychology and in academic secular terms, they're called subpersonalities. They're called subpersonalities. They actually operate as though they were, they have a will of their own, but we'll say more about that perhaps in a moment. Nafs al-amara is the stage where, let's just keep it at the baby level, right? If you have any children, especially pre-kindergarten, nursery school age children, grandchildren, what have you, all you got to do is just see how they interact with each other. See if it is not the case that each one of them wants to dominate everything. Each one of them, if they're not competing for, I want that toy. No, that's my toy. They got one in their hand. They see another over there. Somebody else going over there. No, you can't have that one either. So now they got both of them, so nobody else can have anyone. That's your nafs al-amara at that very low stage, right? But in reality, I'm going to say in reality, that is formally speaking, this nafs al-amara is that stage that we recognize when we reach puberty. When we reach puberty, that's when the battle really starts. That's what, because all the time before that, we are free from moral blame. You're free from moral blame. Everybody's born on fitr. Anyone who dies before puberty, they go to Jannah. The Jannah is guaranteed for them if they die before puberty. But after puberty, there's a book for them. There's a record for them. We're called mukallif. Mukallif at that stage means that where before there was no book being kept for you because you were morally not culpable, right? You were quote-unquote guileless. But when you reach puberty, then the book is opened on you and you obey or you disobey. It's either a merit or a demerit based on what your behavior, mukallaf, mukallaf. You become responsible. This is why in al-Islam, when you reach that age, you are obligated to pray, you're obligated to fast, you're obligated to do the five pillars of al-Islam. And in fact, just FYI, just because a child is born in your home, they're not automatically Muslim in the formal sense until they themselves declare, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. They have to declare, they have to submit, they have to decide, I want to obey what Allah has ordered. But in any case, so now the nafs al-amara, these urges, these impulses are very much alive, very, very strong. And a part of the sad and wicked thing about this society is that this society aims its manipulation directly at those urges and those impulses in that group. The music is aimed at the urges and impulses in that group. And the value system is being sold to them that is against the parents. I hope you can understand. I don't want to. I'm not trying to bring out any banners, placards, or whatever, or even create a battle between parents and children and young people that's not already going on. My goal is for us to, inshallah, understand the very serious work that's already being done and has been done on our young people, and in so many instances, we're really practically in a situation where all we can do is raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to help them, to understand them, so show us how to protect them, because they are the target. I collect little things in my notes I'm not going to right now, but collect little things. There's so many things that are anti-parent in the culture at large. I'm talking about television commercials, Disney songs, all those kind of things. You know, programs. You know, some of us didn't know. I didn't know until, of course, I grew up and became a Muslim and was able to look back. You know, some of y'all remember Mad Magazine. You know, what, me worry, you know, that dude with the snaggle too, I can't think of it. But you probably got an image in your mind right now. That was already twisting the moral fabric of our age group at that time. And then they hit the next generation with, like, Bart. When they hit you, don't have a cow, man. When they hit you with Bart, his father, you know, what is his father? It's like, idiot, mother, idiot, right? And so many others, you know. And they had the Eddie Haskell character in the Leave It to Beaver. I'm just trying to point back to how this stuff has been working to sever the relationship between parent and child, because that's the critical salvation at this point that I'm talking about. I'm only mentioning nafs al-amara, and I'm showing you how Shaitan knows that. If you move off of nafs al-amara and get to nafs al-lawwama, then you weaken his ability to control you and thereby the generation that they're trying to govern, because we want to deprive the parents of the ability to nurture them, and we want to become their nurturers. Huh? We want to raise these children to be the way that we are. Now, there's some revolutionary, I have to look it up. In one of the doctrines, he points out that the strongest, the most fearsome revolutionary is a teenager with no morals. You want somebody that will fight without limits, without standards, without, you know, inhibitions, raise a teenager without morals, right? So this movement against parents is against parents and against the soul of the young people who are being victimized by it, is grabbing them right in the nafsul amarat and feeding it. That song Frozen, I want to encourage you to do it. Look at what I'm saying. I'm not going to go through it. I didn't print it up to do it. You can look it up. That song Frozen, right? Disney, the girl that freezes everything, whatever. I don't know what her name is. Just get the lyrics. Just go Google lyrics Frozen. And when you read those lyrics, when you set aside that music, which that's the music is the hypnosis, right? Where you don't cognitively, you don't consciously pay attention to what they're being said. So like that other girl, Toni Braxton. If I never feel your hand again, if I never see your face again, we never talking, I'll never breathe again. You lying? It's like, that's a lie. But since it's set to music, nobody checks you on it. Well, when you read this, it's saying the song is Let It Go. And when you understand, what are you being asked to let go? Let go of your parents. Let go of your tradition. Let go of your past. Let go of your values. Let go of your discipline. Let go of your caring how anybody else feels about what you say. And the punchline in the song, I was never afraid of the cold anyway. I mean, I know I'm going to be treated cold. They already treat me cold. So I know they're going to treat me cold. So, okay, treat me cold. That's where I'm going to be. And it says, the perfect girl is gone. It's like we killed off the perfect girl. Right? And so much more to be said. So much more to be said. But let's conclude this portion of it. So this nafs al-amara is the first stage when you arrive at puberty. Yeah, when you arrive at puberty, and that's when the battle starts. Now, Shaitan in this world, through the music, through the movies, through the commercials, through the stories that they tell, they are all aimed at breaking the natural conscience. That's the enemy. The enemy is وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It is the soul's natural morality, natural conscience, that is the enemy for this society. Because if you think in terms of your natural morality, we can't sell you what we want to sell you. And I don't know, is there a reason I should be afraid of talking about homosexuality around y'all? Okay. Because they got the whole world just pushed back solid on, you know what I'm saying? And at least the places that you expect it least, and that's the way they do. It's like a haunted house. Yeah, it's like a haunted house. You ever been to one of the, you know, like carnival. You go to a carnival and then you go on the ride and that ride takes you through the haunted house. And then the thing jump out at you. Yeah. So you're sitting there, you're looking at the movie, okay, it's cool, this person, she's in charge. You know, she's authority. She's police lieutenant and in charge of the guy who's a macho guy who he's seen to be as the character, as the main character, but she's his boss in the way they constructed it. And then when they said, okay, I'm about to go to dinner for my anniversary, blah, blah, blah. And then when you get there for the anniversary, she's meeting her wife. You know, same way with that movie, The Eternals, where you have The Eternals, where you got all these superheroes, these otherworldly superheroes in here. Why the black man got to be the gay guy? He's got a husband. But he got all the brains. He's the one whose brains is going to get everything straight. And this is a little bit extemporaneous right now. I'm not remembering whether he had a Muslim name or not, but I have a feeling he had a Muslim name. I'm pretty sure. And I'm telling you, African-American Muslims, Bilalian Muslims, you are the main problem. Why are you the main problem? You're the main problem because you're not in those other ancient bags that many other Muslim nations have been put into. You know, some of the easiest people to hypnotize are intellectuals. Some of the hardest people to hypnotize are people who don't know much. It's the truth. I know it's funny, but it's the truth. So all praise is due to our, we too dumb to be hypnotized by so much of that stuff, man. And we're rebellious. It's in our nature to rebel against, I don't care what the hell you say. Now, what are you talking? You're giving the pure Princeton, Yale, Oxford wisdom, and the black man, oh, that's the devil's knowledge, man. That's what I did. That's what I did. It's like, hey, we didn't care. I was at UC Berkeley. I got to get finished. We were at UC Berkeley, man. Right in there. And then when I ran up on one of them FYI, it said all that UC Berkeley stuff became the white man knowledge, the devil's knowledge, right? I have no regrets, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, I'll be lying to me. But the point that I want to make, I do need to make this point here on the Nestle Amara. That's just the memory lane thing is just really something. But Nafsala Amara, I talked about Nafsala Amara, and I talked about the parents, and I talked about targeting that group, right? And I mentioned about the homosexuality as a prime strategy. Let me see if I can very quickly state this. Listen, the movement, there's a movement for natural sexuality. There's a movement for natural sexuality. The language that they use in the world is called libido. That's the language that's used in the world, libido, right? In Al-Islam, the way they understand it, saying what it means, for us, it means fitr. It means fitr. So fitr is what energizes every other thing that we do. Fitr is our potential as human beings. So whatever I become, I don't care, athlete, celebrity, teacher, mother, father, whatever, it is an evolution of my fitr. It's an expression of my fitr. It's also an expression of my libido. The libido expresses itself at different levels. But see, this world makes us only think about it in terms of sexuality. Yes, it does start there. It starts there. And so very quickly, I'll say the four, even though if I don't get through them, it'll be all. So it's like, first there's the autoerotic stage, there's the heterosexual stage, there's the commitment stage, and there's the parenting stage. I'm talking about for libido and for fitr. Autoerotic stage, the heterosexual stage, is normal sexuality. Normal sexuality, the male gets to a point after getting past, let me get it out of the way, getting past the masturbatory stage. When you get past the masturbatory stage, then there's a realization, if maturity occurs, that, oh, that's not for that. That's for the opposite gender. And then when they get that, now they come to a heterosexual recognition, right? And then they say, I love women. No, you can't love all women in the way you're talking about. You have to make a commitment. You have to choose one, quote unquote, and then do what's required to move on to the next phase, which is parenting. Listen to what I'm saying. They have set up a major roadblock vis-a-vis the media, the culture, the politics, et cetera, a major roadblock for the movement from one to two. We don't want you to go to heterosexuality. So we feed that group identity-confusing information, models, examples. We'll take a whole family. Allah, Alam, you know, y'all have to pillory me later, you know, but that whole Will Smith family, man, them cats. They ain't using the whole family to mess up a whole lot of people in the world. I don't know. Maybe that's why the Venus and Serena movie didn't do so well. I don't know. That's something else. So one of the keys for that roadblock is to be negative towards parents. How many young people today see the parents as the enemy? I'm talking about in a new way. It's all your fault. So we have to recognize that, and we'll say more, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله والملائكة يصلون على النبي الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. So this نفس الأمارة is the self that wants to be in charge, right? So if you can understand this, then the cultural setting that we're in, the cultural environment that we're in, it's designed to exacerbate, overstimulate that attitude, that mindset, to give it more freedom, give it more power, to give it, quote unquote, to grant it rights, if you will, to empower nafs al-amarat, okay? And to undermine the parental relationships. Now, when Allah says in the Quran in verse 1 of Surah 4, it says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَالْأَرْحَامِ وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Have taqwa for Allah and for the relationships. For the relationships, it says, and respect the wombs that bore you. That's also one of the translations. All right. That's, I got to use the language that's used, is one of the vectors of attack. Shaitan, right? One of the vectors of attack, let's attack the parental relationship. Okay? Why do we have to attack the parental relationship? We attack the parental relationship because it's a source of cultivation. And if they get cultivated, they are harder to control and to manage. So we cut them off from their parental relationship, then they have no foundation to grow upon or through. Where are they getting their advice now? Who is it that they're trusting now? See, we create celebrities to become idols for them and to become their counselors and to become their examples. They're an ugly thing, this Billie Eilish. I'm telling you, I mean, there's a lot of parents here. Excuse me. Billie Eilish, that's a cute little ugly story, if you look at it. Just his Real quick, this is, I'm done in deep dive. It don't take much. Mashallah, somebody get just right there on the surface. Say, yeah, I think this is a little young girl idol to the young ones, which, again, this Frozen character is for the little girls, that next generation of women. This is where we want you to be. So here is Billie Eilish or whatever, and she's still a teenager. I believe very young teenager. And, you know, kind of picked up like the Justin Bieber type character, you know, how she came through. And she said, yeah, I think that pornography really messed me up when I was 11 years old. What the hell? Why do you need to even publish that? I mean, why do you need to publish that she said, I think the pornography really messed me up when I was 11 years old? Now, what do you think, young kids, everybody with their face to a screen somewhere, you don't think they're going to look up and say, well, I wonder what she means. I wonder what happens when you do that. And so there they go, right, into the tar pit. And so in terms of those relations, in terms of the parental relationship, Allah said, وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ وَالْأَرْحَامُ. So it's telling those who are conscious and awake, those relationships, they need to be guarded. They need to be guarded. And Shaitan, of course, wants to eliminate them. And the Quran talks about, it says, and the mystic tie between parent and child. The mystic tie between parent and child. And so the object of the Shaitan is to break the tie between the parent and child, right? And when he breaks the tie between parent and child, well, then the child is set loose without any moorings, without any fine. So what is he going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to follow the crowd. And the crowd is being led by the Pied Piper to where, to Hamland, I guess that's what you call it. So that's, or like Pinocchio, to Pleasure Island, and they all get turned into donkeys, right? So that's an awareness. And I'll go ahead and conclude this with this, where the Quran gives us these things. I'm kind of just giving pieces, stepping stones. But look at Surah 114, Surah An-Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Those are also three stages, three phases. See, if the child is going to be cultivated right, the dua in the Quran says, قُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَرْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them even as they nurture the two of them. Nurture, Rabbayani, two of them nurtured me when I was little, right? So that's what we look for. So Rabbin Nas relates to a strong foundation and relationship of the child with the parents. And when the child has a strong foundation with a strong tie, Taqullahu wa arham, a strong tie with the parent, that gives a strong foundation for that child. And that will cause that child, with that good relationship with the parent, when they go out into the world, they will respect authority. They will respect authority. That's malikinnas. Malikinnas, that's kingship, that's authority, etc. Malikinnas. And then if they have a healthy relationship with the parent, and in turn, that nurtured relationship leads to a healthy respect for authority in society. I'm not detailing it. It doesn't mean that whatever the police, they do it and all that. Sometimes it's not really a bad idea with the hair-triggered mindset they got nowadays. But I want to be very, very clear. I'm not saying just be purely obedient, be wise. But so the idea is that malikin nas and then ilahin nas. Okay? If you have the right relationship with your parents, they have the right relationship with Allah, taqullahu wal arham. They have a right relationship with Allah. You have a right relationship with them. And then you go out into the world and you have a right relationship with authority. Then that puts you in a situation where that nafs, that soul grows to a point where you have the right relationship with Allah, ilaha illallah. Most of the bad relationship with bad relationship in the society and bad relationship with quote unquote religion has to do with the broken ties at the very beginning between the parent and the child. And so this is why, you know, Muslims, we underestimate how important it is to marry and to marry well, to parent and to parent well, because when we don't do that, all we're doing is just creating easy targets for the enemy. We create easy targets. They're easy to be manipulated, easy to be influenced, easy to be led astray. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly for his help, his aid, and his assistance. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا عليك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. Oh Allah, we're in the dark without your light. Oh Allah, we're helpless without your aid. Oh Allah, we're hopeless without your promise. Oh Allah, we beg your aid and assistance in all things. Oh Allah, show us the way that we should turn. Show us how to stand and stand strong. Show us how to oppose those who oppose your way and your will. Oh Allah, enlighten us, brighten our hearts, purify our spirit, guide us in our will, purify us in our intention. Oh Allah, make us strong. Bless us to be overcome to overcome our weaknesses, and bless us not to succumb to our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Oh Allah, bless us not to be overwhelmed with self-blame. Bless us not to be overwhelmed with self-doubt. Bless us to realize our faith in you by acting on what we say we believe from you. Oh Allah, we beg you that you would bless us to be real in our practice of al-Islam. Help us in all of our shortcomings. We beg you to be only for none can grant withhold us but you. Amen. We're going to do Janazah al-Ghaib right after Jum'ah Salah for Sister Fatiha. Sister Fatiha, Inna Lillahi Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. She passed away yesterday, I believe. Wa Akim Salah. Shukran. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله استووا استقيم يرحمكم الله وثابتكم الله no cover will straighten even need no space between shaitan and violence الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. So if you would just you can stand where you are, and if you're going to stay for the janazah al-ghayb, janazah al-ghayb means we're going to, in the absence of the body, we're going to make the janazah prayer for Sister Fatiha. So just stand where you are. There's no bowing. There's no literally there's no formal change in position. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Yeah, they are actually also having a formal janazah after Juma at Lighthouse Masjid in North Oakland. So, and the interment is going to be at Five Pillars. All that after Juma, you have the Juma, then they have the janazah, then they have the internment. So, if you're interested in being at either, then that's still available. You can go ahead and do as per normal. I'm going to read these announcements. There seems to be quite a few today. Birthday greetings to Noah May, Nuruddin Green, and also Kasim Brahma. His 22nd, and Zaina Lee of the Shabazz tribe. I'm gonna put him in the tribe. January 23rd. Wow, that's Sunday. All right. Also, men's group, fourth Saturday of the month, January 22nd, conference call. Make sure you check in on that. Also, my presentation as a part of the team for Study Al-Islam series, The Miraculous Nature of the Quran, 10 o'clock Eastern time. That's going to be happening this Sunday as well. I don't have a number to give you, but I'm sure some of you checked in on Study Al-Islam well enough. If not, then you can get a number from perhaps it's in the flyer or after Mina. Also, inshallah, in February, the men's group will sponsor a Red Cross First Aid CPR AED training at the masjid. The certified people in the community, the more certified people, the better the case of emergencies that can happen anywhere, anytime. So you can contact Ibrahim Shaheed if you're interested in taking the training. You know he's here today, so you can see him. 510-314-6119 also. It will be what? Oh, okay, February 12th. There's no date on that. February 12th. At 12:30, got it. All right, and also February 18th, movie night. Alhamdulillah, movie night starring us from 4 to 7 p.m. Women of Meshawar Deen will cook and sell wings and fries after Juma and before the event starts, and there will also be a concession stand with snacks for sale during the movie. So that's on February 18th, movie night. Alhamdulillah. Also, Marcus. Sarita Flowers' mother, we just did janazah for her, and I just told you about the janazah and Five Pillars, et cetera. Our sympathies to Terry Tyson and family, whose two nieces who passed away. One was a heart attack or something? A heart attack and a car accident, mashallah. May Allah have mercy on them. And so, mashallah. What else is projected Ramadan? April projected Ramadan. April 2nd to May 2nd, possibly. Eid al-Fitr, possibly May 2nd. So start projecting towards. Then, and also the $100 give, 100 people giving $100 for our normal celebrations here. Also, congratulations to Issa Shamsi Shaheed for making the principal's honor list, including a 4.0 in math and class with two grade levels above him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Okay, and pray for our brother Ayman Mujib of Los Angeles, who's in ICU, inshallah. Waakum as-salam. I'm not waakum as-salam. It's been one of them kind of days. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.